Hello and welcome to episode 45 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, let's get right into the basketball talk, as I know we got a lot to touch on. But first, just wanted to kind of highlight the results of the FIBA Under 19 tournament that went on in Switzerland and wrapped up last week. We had talked about the first couple of games on the last pod, and since that recording, everything has wrapped up, and Team USA actually brought home the gold medal. So shout out to Daniel Jacobson, not only for winning this one, but his second straight year where he's represented USA and come back home with the gold. So anytime you get a chance to represent your country and win a gold medal, I would say that would be a pretty successful trip there.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. And the fact that he's able to say that twice, really, before he's played a meaningful game of before he's played like a meaningful game of college basketball. And like I think we were talking about last week in terms of just like he might not have the same experience as like some of like the returning guys in terms of like playing in the tournament, but nonetheless, playing in a tournament of that nature twice, you'd like to think that he it's good for Daniel in the sense of like just getting meaningful reps in pressure situations. So yeah, congrats to him. Congrats to all the guys on that U19 team because they're also it was bell to ass in a lot of those games, man. They're beating the shit out of some people.
I think they won every game by at least they won by an average of 39 points. So definitely was kind of running things out there. Special shout out to Daniel as well. He and Caleb Swanigan are the only Boilermakers to win at least two gold medals with USA basketball. So anytime you can get mentioned with a legend like Biggie, that's always good. Just wanted to kind of highlight DJ's final stat line over the 7 games. He finished with an average of 6 points, 6 points, 4.3 rebounds, and 1.9 blocks. He ended up finishing 20 of 33 from the field. And also was second among all players with 13 block shots, despite he played about 12 minutes a game. So definitely, had an impact, especially on the defensive end. And that's kind of like we talked a little bit about it on the last pod, but kind of what he did for Team USA is kind of what you're really hoping for to see this season for the Boilermaker team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like he was really efficient. He was imposing on the defensive end. Yeah, and in short time, in short like with relatively low minutes. And yeah, if he can replicate that, with Purdue, you like what that's able to do for the overall, like for the team overall. Because that was something I think we talked about a lot last year. It was just kind of lacking that true, rim protector. And Daniel kind of. Was seen as the guy last year who like, hey, can step right into that role and be able to be that for you, after, coming off of having Edie for all that time. So yeah, I mean, is I think what was there was a game, might not have been the final, might have been the game before the final, where I think he had like 15 and 5 blocks in like 12 minutes. It was crazy.
Yeah,
But yeah.
he definitely played well and was efficient in the time that he was out there, which is what you really want to see because you got to think ideally him and Clough are probably going to split the time pretty evenly, I would think. And so when he's out on the floor, you want to see him be efficient like that. So really nice to see him play well, play meaningful minutes, and of course, come back home with the gold. On the other side, with Omer Meyer. Good news and bad news there. So, Team Israel ended up finishing in 7th place. Omer actually did not play the last 2 games because of a minor finger injury. But before that, as we had kind of talked about, he really played well in the 4 games that he played. Obviously with the they only played he only played in 4 with the forfeit from Jordan, and then him not playing the last two. But he averaged 20 points, shot 38% from three, and really just had some moments that we talked about where he really stole the show. So that was kind of the bad news, where he ended up getting hurt. They didn't play the last 2 games. The good news is, if you want to see him play, there's another shot, as he will play now for Team Israel in the FIBA Under 20, which will take place in Greece, starting on Saturday. So they'll play Saturday, the 12th at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time against Spain. And then on Sunday, they will tip off 6 a.m. Eastern Time against Finland. And they'll also play Monday, 8:30 against Poland. Those are the only 3 games with a set time right now. Obviously, once those games kind of get done and the round robin part of that is done, then we'll see where they stack up. But another chance then for Omer to kind of go out on another big stage, and show what he can do, and try to lead Team Israel to a gold medal there.
Yeah, no, like you said, it was unfortunate they didn't get to play all the games, but now he gets another opportunity to get some live reps. Gives us an opportunity, obviously, to see more of his tape. And yeah, you hope obviously the outcome for his sake, you hope that obviously it's better than what it was in the U19s. But yeah, just valuable minutes, and I think given the fact that he sat out 2 games with that finger injury, I'm kind of like now like all right, well. Just make sure you make it out healthy, so we can get you over here to West Lafayette.
Yeah.
Please and thanks.
And just again to clarify for that, all of those games, you'll be able to see on FIBA's YouTube channel. Of course, there'll be stuff all over Twitter as well. But definitely another chance to see him. And Sim, I think you hit it right on the nose. Like, we want to see Omer go out there and play well, but at the end of the day, just get back to West Lafayette healthy and let's get ready to go for the fall there.
Right.
But good luck to Omer, starting this weekend. And we will definitely break his games down next week. But just wanted to give a shout out to those two. So let's go ahead now, Sim. Let's talk about this bracket that we kind of set out there, that we put out on all the social media platforms. Thank you for everybody for voting, and kind of giving your input. I know a lot of people may not have agreed with how we seeded the teams, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, kind of our reasoning. But thought it was kind of neat just to kind of look back. Again, this was strictly from the past 20 years, so mainly during Matt Painter's time. So that's where these 8 teams came from. We tried to pick 8 teams with different trios on it, so we're not here sitting talking about the same guys, each round. But thought it would be fun to kind of have a little discussion, and kind of talk about who would be the best trio from the Purdue teams of the past 20 years. And shockingly, people did not agree with how we ranked the teams there.
They did not. Like you said, I think our rationale for like at least how we comprise the teams are good. I think there's some people who probably lost sight of the fact that we were just talking about we're not talking about the entirety like the teams as a whole because the biggest thing I think people said was how do you not have the national, went to the national championship team as number one? And it's like, well, I'm not talking about the entire team. So we're just, we picked three guys out of there. So yeah, I wasn't necessarily surprised. I actually would have been more surprised if everyone had agreed. So, but yeah, I think it's eight solid picks. And I think where we're at now in the semifinals, I think everyone would agree, despite the rankings, I think that they would agree that those are the four teams that should be there. But more on that later.
Yeah, and again, like you may not agree with the seeds, but like with Robbie Eaton and JJ as the one seed, like I had mentioned, I think it was on Facebook there, but like it's really hard to argue with a trio where all three players got drafted into the NBA, were all Americans, and have their jerseys hanging in Mackey Arena. Like that's really, really good. And then even for like the two seed with AJ Ray and Biggie, like I feel like that's kind of a slept on team. And I know Ray was very vocal in his thoughts about that team not being able to be stopped. And then, then we get to Lance Mason and Edie for the three seed there. So, of course, if everybody agreed with it, then it wouldn't be that fun to talk about. So, appreciate everybody's input on that. And again, Sim, I think you bring up a good point. Like we're strictly looking at the trios. If we would have just talked about the teams, obviously you could talk about just the win-loss record stuff, and that kind of defeats the purpose of having a discussion like this. So we were strictly looking at it from a trio standpoint. And so with that first game, with the one seed Robbie Eaton and JJ against Tyrone, Lujack, and Crump, Robbie Eaton and JJ are going to move on. I think now, no real shock here in this one. I think the biggest thing was that not one person voted for Tyrone, Lujack,
That's the part that got me.
and Crump,
I was
which
like, damn, ain't no love for him.
I can't really blame anybody. Like, that's a really tough matchup. I mean, like we just went through why they should be ranked the number one. So, really hard to go against that. And that's no knock on like Tyrone, Lujack, and Terrence at all.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's a really, really good team. Like we said, that's three guys whose jerseys are hanging in the rafters. So, they will move on, and no real shock there at all. And then
No,
we'll.
oh my bad.
No, I was
Go
just
ahead.
saying, then we'll go on to probably the closest matchup, the toughest matchup, was the 4-5 seed. At the four was Carson, Vince, and Isaac, which I feel like is kind of another underrated team.
Trio.
Like three really good players. And if you listen to the pod when we had Vince on, you could hear how confident Vince was in that team, and kind of another what could have been if Isaac doesn't go down with that injury, but a really, really good squad. And then, Braden Fletch and Trey from last
Last
year,
season,
that's another really, really good squad,
right.
which we're probably going to say that a lot. All these teams, obviously, really good, but this was probably the closest one, but Carson, Vince, and Isaac as the four will go ahead and move on to the next round.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. I think this was it was if I were to I think the seedings were right because it would be a very fair matchup, like a 4-5. Like this would actually be one that I'd be interested to see play out like in real life. Actually, I mean, I'd be interested to see all of them, but like this is one where, like you said, I think that Carson, Vince, and Isaac, they if not for injuries, what could that have been in terms of like what the their tourney run? And then yeah, last year obviously we were still fresh, relatively fresh off of what Braden, specifically really Braden and TKR did last year. But obviously Fletch had some great games himself. I believe the Minnesota game and then the Rutgers game at home are two that like kind of stick out to me. But yeah, so that was a good matchup. But yeah, I think I would agree with this one too, and giving the edge to Carson, Vince, and Isaac. I'm not doing that just because Vince was on here. But like he said, he was very confident in terms of what that team was, and obviously, I think we spoke with him specifically about when he knew like Carson was going to be a problem. And yeah, I get why that one was close. But yeah, I agree with it being Carson, Vincent, and Isaac.
Yeah, and to your point, that'd be a really fun matchup to watch there. And I think the one thing that just kind of shocked me a little bit was that the Carson, Vince, and Isaac squad got about double the amount of votes over Brayden Fletch and TKR. I thought maybe there'd be a little recency bias, and again, like, no knock on those three. Like, if anybody's listened to this pod last year, they know how much I love Brayden Fletch and Trey. So I'm not knocking that at all. But I was a little shocked, kind of, that
The
Carson,
gap is
Vince,
so
and
wide.
Isaac won by as much as they did. I thought that one would be a little closer. It was the closest of the four,
By a mile.
but I thought it would be closer than what it was there.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it was the closest of all of them. But yeah, even the gap that it is, like you said, I thought the recency bias would probably play a bit more in. What do we know?
Apparently not much. Then let's go to the 3-6 matchup. This was the 3 seed that had everybody upset. Lance, Mason, and Edie from the 2023 squad. And again, the reason why we went with this trio was so that we could have kind of different players to discuss. Obviously, those probably weren't the three best players on the team, but I think it would still be a really fun trio to watch play because, you'd have Lance, Mason, and Zach. Like, you know me, like, give me Mason on my team any day of the week. And just be that'd just be a fun team. And they went up against this 6 seed of Jaden, Trey, and Eric Hunter from the 21-22 squad. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised because of, that team with Lance, Mason, and Edie is a team that's going to go down deservedly so. Like, all those guys are going to hold like a special place in everybody's heart. But man, they dominated as far as voting over Jane, Trey, and Eric, which would be a really fun game too to see, like, that, like, Jaden against Lance, and then you got Trey going up against Zach. Like, that would be another fun matchup, but according to the votes, it would not be
Would
close
not
at
be
all.
close. Right. Yeah, and I think people, and rightfully so, they hold that 23-24 team, in high regard as a whole, because obviously getting to the national championship game. And I think even for myself, like for myself, I look at, I believe that was Jaden's what sophomore year. And so I think that was when we all kind of saw, I think at the end of the back part of his freshman year, of like, oh man, he could be really good. I wonder, like, if he takes a leap, this could be like a real problem. And in sophomore year, he did. But I think the cumulative skills and a skill set of Lance, Mason, and Edie probably does take it. I don't know if it's as big a margin as the votes were, but yeah, I think the biggest thing, obviously, if you watch this play out in person, I think it would be how aggressive scoring wise would be Hunter versus Lance. Because Lance, well, I think when he was at Lance when he was at was it Southern Illinois, he was more of a scorer, and then obviously came and fit into a role when he was here. And Eric Hunter, I don't know if it's still the case, but he's like one of the top scorers in high school. So I think that would be interesting to see, because if one of those two starts getting active, then that could change the way that that stuff goes. But yeah, that would be, again, like you said, it would be another one of those, like, hey, look, if we actually did 3-on-3, check up, I'd watch that.
No, and like just like we got to see Trey and Edie play together, so it'd be kind of interesting to see them go up against each other. That's one thing, you know, I wish we had access to practices and get to see that, because I think that would be a really fun matchup as well to see the two bigs kind of go after each other there.
I'll say, Trey and Edie, that would be, that'd be basically just like releasing the practice tapes.
And then for the last matchup, the two seed of AJ Ray and Biggie from the 16 squad going up against the 06-07 squad, the OG squad of the Matt Painter era, Landry Teagan Crump. And I want to correct myself, we did not put Crump on there twice. For the 8 seed, it was Tyrone Lujack and DJ Bird. So I apologize about that. But AJ Ray and Biggie go on pretty handily based on a vote. Again, no real shock there. Hate to see it because like that team was one of my favorite kind of teams. Like that was really the first, you know, squad for Coach Painter to really kind of get the ball rolling. And you know, you had Landry went on to be, you know, a real good pro. David Teague and Terrence Crump, just two guys really fun to watch. But it's hard to argue against a squad with AJ Ray and Biggie there.
No, I like you said, it's just that 06-07 team. I think it has a lot of sentimental value, especially if you ask if you ask Paint. But I mean, Biggie was a monster. Obviously, I think we all know AJ, especially when he would really be locked in. Like, he's probably the first big I can recall of like being able to impact the game without it really showing up on the stat sheet, where you knew like he impacted the game. But like when you go look at the stat sheet, you're like, oh well, he only had 4 points and like five rebounds, something like that, but you knew he did more. And then obviously Rafi, outside of just having the brazen confidence that he was talking about on Twitter of like nah, we take anybody. One, can't forget his high school chops in terms of like how much of a scorer he was, but defensively, and just like all around, like as his intensity, it's kind of hard to go against those guys. And yeah, again, Biggie, this dude was a monster from day one, so good
Yeah,
luck.
that will be a really fun trio there. So all chalk in the first round. One the seeds 1, 2, 3, and 4 will move on. I don't think anything real surprising based on the voting there. That's him. I kind of think that's how we landed as well. And yeah, I mean, I no real shock here, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I don't. Like I said earlier, I think now it gets interesting though, because now you got to start having some real conversations with yourself and really kind of probably flesh this stuff out. But like the first round going chalk, yeah, it's fine. I think some of the margins, I think, and you might have just said this, but some of the margins I think were a little surprising. Like we were talking about with the 3-6, that one was kind of surprising. 4-5, I expect it to be the closest, but even the fact that like that wasn't even for that vote count, it still wasn't like crazy close. I thought it would be by like a few votes, and it wasn't. But yeah, everything else still there. That all played out the way I did, the way I thought it did.
Yeah, so and I think you mentioned a good point as well that regardless of what you thought about how we heated the teams, I don't think you can argue at all that these are the four best teams probably under the Matt Painter era there.
Right. Yeah, that's my thing. Yeah, at the end of the day, like I think if you listed those eight teams out and then like handed it to, a Purdue fan and been like, yo, who do you think would be the four that came out of this? You showed them the matchups. I think everyone would say like it would still be, regardless of what those their seeds were, those top four, I think everyone would still have them coming out of their respective first rounders. So maybe the matchups are a little different, Just because obviously, yeah, if you have one team, like, yeah, the matches are different, but it's the four as a whole that are going to be there.
Yeah, so let's highlight the matchups here. So on one side of the bracket, you'll have the one seed of Ravi Itouan and JJ going up against the four seed of Carson, Vince, and Isaac. And then on the other side, you'll have the two seed of AJ, Ray, and Biggie going up against the three seed of Lance, Mason, and Edie. So we won't next week, once we have the results from the vote, we'll kind of go into these a little bit in more detail, but really kind of excited to see kind of how the vote goes on this one. I honestly don't know how the voting will go, and like nothing will really shock me as far as if there would be any upsets. I think a lot of people will go for the three seed. And again, I can't, argue against that at all. Like, that squad went to the Final Four, so naturally, like that holds a higher standard. But I mean, you could go back and forth all day with these four teams.
Yeah, I mean, I know we'll talk about it more next week, but my thought is that it's gonna be 1v3 in the final. That's kind of my thought. My thought says it'll be 1v3, but I'm curious to see one if we're if I'm wrong, and two, I'm curious to see how the voting actually plays out because yeah, like you're right. I think you can make a case for both of those matchups and them going maybe a different way than like than you know what I expect. Like I said, then what I would say. And I think, well, I would hope it would be a rational argument. But yeah, I personally myself, I think it's gonna be 1-3.
I will say that if that's how it ends up, you're going to have one Mr. Rafael Davis who is not going to be happy with that
He
outcome.
looked. He not gonna be happy, and that's fine. You know, come on, he can come on here, and he can state his case. And Vince can do the same too if he doesn't like the outcome. Or more than welcome to. It's nothing personal, believe me. It'll be nothing personal. It's just my thought of how others will vote. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's my choice. I'm just saying it's what I think people. It's how I think people will vote. Yeah, there we go.
Very, very political answer there.
That's what I gotta do.
No, but really, really excited to kind of see how the voting will go on this one. Again, there'll be Robbie Eatfon and JJ going up against Carson, Vince, and Isaac, and then Lance, Mason, and Edie going up against AJ, Ray, and Biggie. And man, just thinking about how cool it would be if we could actually like see these matchups live. Like I think back to kind of the old three on three summer tournaments, like the Gus Mackey tournaments and things like that.
All
Like
right, yeah.
this would have been one would have been worth the price of admission to see these games. You got NBA players, you got defensive players of the year, national player of the year. You got everything in there, all Americans everywhere you look. Like this one would have been fun.
Yeah. Gus Macker 3-on-3. That actually be dope as hell, yo. Bring the alumni back. Run it. Yeah, man. Now that would be really cool. But yeah, just
Yeah.
excited to see how this next round goes.
Yeah, so we will get the brackets, the updated brackets back out on all the social media platforms and let the discussions begin. Just want to highlight too, like with the discussions, like there is no right or wrong answer. It's just everybody's opinions. We're just out here to have some fun and talk about Purdue hoops, like
Right.
we don't have
Yeah, there's not
to.
some set right answer. Not like
Get
Yeah, it's not some
upset.
set right answer. There's no need to get like crazy tweaked over this. Yeah, we're just trying to do something we thought was pretty interesting. It was fun to do in the summer when, yeah, we're trying to put off the demons of talking about football.
Which is right around the corner, media days at the end of the month, but whatever.
But who's
I
counting?
digress.
Right. Who's counting?
But yeah, we will get the updated bracket out. We'll get the discussions going. We'll get the voting. We'll have the voting open up for a week, and then we'll be back next week to talk about the outcomes. So be sure to get out there, vote, and let's have a fun discussion about it. And talk about why you think whatever team you think will move on. And talk about kind of who you think would outplay who. And let's have some fun with it. Shameless plug as well. Be sure to check out our Instagram page as well. First and Goal PU, the same as the Twitter account. Just got that rolled out last week. So be sure to check that out. Give us a follow if you haven't. We'll get it out there. We'll get it on Twitter. We'll get it on all the different Facebook groups out there.
I'm gonna try to spam the shit out of y'all.
And let's have some fun with this one. And get those votes in, and we'll see again. This seeding at this point, I don't think really matters. Like we said, we got the best four teams. So let's see who would win it out. Thank you for everybody for their votes for this past week and for all the discussions, kind of getting this thing rolling. A lot of fun talks, and hopefully we can do more of these in the future. Maybe incorporate, some of the teams from the KD era, and things like that, because I know that was mentioned as well. And that's why, it was hard enough to choose eight teams from the Painter era. I can't imagine trying to combine them both. So we tried to limit it to one specific area, but maybe something in the future we can look into doing with maybe like the KD era and doing this again, depending on how this one goes. So that's the reason why we kind of stuck to the past 20 years for this one. But again, appreciate everybody's input and discussions on this one, and let's have some more fun votes and discussions. And we'll be back next week to break it all down. According to Sim, AJ Ray and Biggie are gonna lose. So we'll
That's
see.
crazy. That's crazy to call me out like that. All right. Well, all
We'll
right then, man.
see. We'll see if he's right.
Put a price on my head. It's crazy work. All right then. Cool.
But again, thank you everybody for their input and their votes, and really looking forward to kind of see how these turn out. So thank you for all your support, listening, and all the love, and most important, everybody, boiler up.
Yes, sir.